I want to share with you some thoughts about Thanksgiving or giving of thanks and together with this holiday. So I'm going to start with Abraham Lincoln's proclamation. Abraham Lincoln's Thanksgiving proclamation came at a most difficult time in our nation's history. The war between the states had raged for 3 years and 7 months. The total casualties for the war were 620,000 at a time when the population was just over 31 million. If you put that in context today, it would be like 6,200,000 people dying in war that we're fighting ourselves. And so that's another prayer point, right? We don't want that to happen again. So this is the context of President Lincoln's proclamation. I think it's helpful for us to understand that context. Because isn't it easy to give thanks when everything's going well? Thanks, Lord. But when things get rough, we get a little more serious. It has pleased Almighty God to prolong our national life another year, defending us with his guardian care against unfriendly designs from abroad and granting to us his mercy and his many signal victories over the enemy who is of our own household. It has also pleased our Heavenly Father to favor us, to favor as well our citizens in their homes and our soldiers in their camps and our sailors in the rivers and seas with unusual health. He has largely augmented our free population by emancipation and by immigration, while he has opened to us new sources of wealth and has crowned the labor of our working men in every department of industry with abundant rewards. Moreover, he has been pleased to animate and inspire our minds and hearts with fortitude, courage, and resolution sufficient for this great trial of civil war into which we have been brought by our adherence as a nation to the cause of freedom and humanity, and to afford to us reasonable hopes of an ultimate and happy deliverance from all our dangers and afflictions. Now, therefore, I, Abraham Lincoln, President of the United States, do hereby appoint and set apart the last day of Thursday in November next as a day which I desire to be observed by all my fellow citizens, wherever they may be, as a day of thanksgiving and praise to Almighty God, the beneficent creator and ruler of the universe. I'm going to keep reading, but I just want to say this idea of separation of church and state is foreign to these people. Okay? And I do further recommend to my fellow citizens aforesaid that on occasion they do reverently humble themselves in the dust, from thence offer up penitent and fervent prayers and supplications to the great disposer of events for a return to the inestimable blessings of peace, union, and harmony throughout the land which it has pleased him to assign as a dwelling place for ourselves and for our posterity throughout all generations. In testimony whereof I have hereunto set the seal, set my hand, and caused the seal of the United States to be affixed. Done at Washington, this 20th day of October 1864, and of the independence of the United States, the 89th, Abraham Lincoln, Proclamation 118. I just, don't ask me why I did this, but, I mean, you can. I thought, I wonder what Psalm 118 is. And it starts this way: "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." Isn't that interesting? I'm sure it's a coincidence. "For his mercy endures forever. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord." Now, if you are trying to follow me in Psalm 118, you got confused because I read verse 1 and verses 14 through 17. It's a long psalm, and I didn't want to take that much of your time because I want to dismiss you for lunch, not dinner. So, but if you read the whole psalm, you'll see that David is surrounded by his enemies. It's a time of conflict. It's in the midst of this ordeal that he writes a song that opens with, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endures forever." Like David, President Lincoln knows where to look for help, yes? Remember, giving thanks and praising God are easier when you have your health, prosperity, and all is well with your family. It's easy to give thanks when the barns are full, right? So the point of our Thanksgiving holiday and those biblical heroes of faith was to rejoice, walk in praise, give thanks to the Lord in times of adversity. In all things, right? Give thanks. So we're in such times. This world is unstable due to incompetent and evil leadership at home and abroad. Just another mention of the attack in Israel last October. It was barbaric. If you've had the opportunity to hear some of the direct testimonies of what was done, I can't repeat such things here before. It's not appropriate to repeat in the pulpit. Some have called what Hamas did by comparing them to animals, but I think that's unkind to animals. Because animals don't have that wicked of imagination. So I just want to ask you a question. Do you believe the scriptures? That's not that overwhelming, so let me ask you. Do you guys believe the scriptures?
Yes.
Thank you. Let me ask the follow-up question. Do you believe what the scripture says about you?
Yes.
Where's he going with this? Let me start with this is what the Bible says about you. Your debt of sin was canceled at the cross of Christ. That's called good news, okay? So here's a question. Are you righteous?
Yes.
Yep. Are you forgiven?
Yes.
Are you pure?
Yes.
Are you loved?
Yes.
Oh, you got that one. Are you holy?
Yes.
See what happens there? So if you're in Christ, you're looking at a straight across the board yes, right? And that's the issue, is are we in Christ or are we in the old carnal nature? And so that's the rub. But all those statements are true. It's true that you are all those things. You are pure. You are righteous. You are, because Jesus' account was put on your account. Everything that was in your account by way of sin was removed by his blood, and everything that he did as a righteous act was credited to your account. I'm glad you guys stayed calm. I can keep going without having to overcome all the shouting. So I'm not talking about feelings, right? Someone says, are you holy? Yes, because of what Jesus did on the cross, but I don't feel that way. That's just honest. Right? And but it's easy for us to think about God loving us because we know that he's love, right? But that's no different than he's forgiven us. It's no different than he's made us pure. It's no different than he's made us righteous. It's no different than he's made us holy. It's just what we're conditioned to. One person's thank you, Susan. I think I'm pushing you guys a little bit, but in order to be thankful, we have to be thankful for something that's real. And all the stuff that's going on in the world is temporal, it's unreal. And that which is eternal is going to overtake it when Jesus returns. Isn't that good? Thank you, Jesus. That's good news. So if we're walking in the Spirit, then the voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. Right? Here's some more questions. Are you ready for my Socratic style of teaching here? Are you in need?
Yes.
Yeah? Spiritually, emotionally, physically? Yeah? Okay. I was going to sign the credit card slip at the health food store when I bought some, that's where I go for my goodies. And I said, I'll do my best to sign it. And the one lady was sitting there, and she goes, man, that thing's got a mind of its own. I said, it does. But if you have a need, remember this. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I'm not repeating myself. That's the way David wrote it. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. Amen. I might shake for a little while, but one of these days you're going to see me not shaking. Because Jesus is my healer. He's your healer too. And it doesn't matter. This is a physical thing. I don't know exactly what caused it. I think I do, but I might not know. But there's other things that hook people up too that hurt people. Habits, addictions. There's things that get in our way and interfere with our ability to feel the presence of God. My goal and my mission, should I decide to accept it, is to see us be a people that are free from those things. Well, Pastor, why don't you try it? Okay, I'll try it. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, yes? So the right hand of the Lord is exalted. David is speaking prophetically of what's to come. Because Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, all of the promises of God are yes and amen for you, no matter how you feel. Are your feelings, do they feel like the roller coaster? What's that big roller coaster that Disney? California Screaming. You will never find me on California Screaming. I hate roller coasters. I hate the feeling of being out of control. It's why I like to drive. Can we have some fun? Sarah's a good driver. Try to save that. You do. It always caused me to pray. But here's, see if I can get this back now. No matter what I feel, the promises of God are yes and amen. Amen. No matter what you're feeling, it is your faith in God and in His Word that determines your standing in righteousness. We want to make it about what we do, but it's not about what we do, it's about what He did. And because of what He did, we can do what He did. Yeah, came out right. His right hand will save, heal, and deliver you. You can live a righteous life, and as you do, your feelings about yourself will improve. See, a lot of people don't walk out of their former life and they're constantly feeling messed up, because they are. But God wants us to graduate out of that. You know, I hope that you hear those words couched in grace, because we've all come from somewhere and we're all headed somewhere. Remember that the goal is Christ-likeness. And so first comes faith, then acting on your faith, then real transformation. And then, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good and His mercy endures forever. Amen. That was King David. Let's check out with the Apostle Paul for a second here when he was writing to the Philippian church. Remember, it was in Philippi that a slave girl followed him and said, "These are men of the Most High God here to tell you the way of salvation." She was doing it by a demonic spirit called Python in the Greek. If something's called snake, it's not your friend, okay? Philippians 4, 4 through 7, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your righteousness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. It's not what I said, it's what is there, okay? "Be anxious for nothing." Well, that would be nice. The word anxious in the Greek has a root meaning of distracted. Don't get distracted. Circumstances can be really distracting, yes? And it causes anxiety. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Do you see the progression here? So Philippi was the center of Caesar worship in Macedonia until Constantine's conversion to Christianity. So when Paul was there, it was a tough spot. It was a very demonic city. The reason the prayer meetings were held, if you read the book of Acts, I'll read it to you in a minute, but the reason the prayer meetings were held by the river was that no form of worship or prayer was allowed in that city except to Caesar. They didn't even have a synagogue. They never had a church building in the city until Constantine's Edict of Tolerance in 325 AD. So in Acts 16:11 through 15, this is part of Paul's time in Philippi. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis. I've actually been to Neapolis. I've been to Philippi. I've been to most of these places by the grace of God. It's helpful to see the context. And from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now, a certain woman named Lydia heard us, and she was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, that's over in what's now Turkey, who worshiped God. The Lord opened her heart and to heed the things spoken by Paul, and when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And so she persuaded us. So again, the context in which Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always," again I say rejoice, is an environment of adversity. So I guess you picked up the theme, right? No matter what you're going through, it's appropriate to give thanks. Paul and Silas were imprisoned, whipped mercilessly. And their response, they weren't like me. You open my back up with a whip and stick me in a hole in the ground. I'm not thinking, what hymn can we sing next, Silas? Man, this hurts. But their response was they sang hymns until midnight when they were interrupted by the Lord who delivered them with an earthquake. I think there's some deliverances that are waiting for us if we'll get this principle down, to be thankful and to praise God even before. You could feel like you're chained up, you've been whipped, but just start praising God and thanking Him and watch Him work. That's hard. I'm not saying, yeah, I got this down, I wish you guys would catch up. I'm saying, this is what we need. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, I'm going to read it to you from the Amplified Bible so it'll be a little louder. In every situation, no matter what the circumstances, be thankful and continually give thanks to God, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. A lot of people say, what's God's will? Well, start with being thankful. Really? Yeah, okay. I want to close with Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 12 through 25. Jesus gives thanks while facing betrayal and death. And of course, He's our example, yes? Have you ever been betrayed? Have you ever thought, oh God, just bless that person? That's not like my first thing. It comes after a while, but it's not my first thing. Verse 12. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover lamb, His disciples said to Him, "Where do you want us to go to prepare that you may eat the Passover?" And He sent out two of His disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him." That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Wherever he goes in, say to the master of the house, the teacher says, where is the guest room which I may eat the Passover with my disciples? Notice there's no name given, you're just the master. The master of what? I mean, this is crazy. It's great. So his disciples went out and came into the city and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. Do you think if Jesus knew this detail about what these two guys were going to run into, he didn't know what was coming? He knew exactly what was coming. Oh, way before he even ever came to earth. In the evening, he came with the 12, and now they sat and ate. And Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you, the one who eats with me will betray me. It's a rough way to start dinner. And they began to be sorrowful and to say one by one, is it I? And another said, is it I? And he answered and said to them, it is one of the 12 who dips with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good if for that man had never been born. You don't want to land in that category. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they drank from it. And he said to them, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink of it anew in the kingdom of God. So let's just say it this way. Let's say you pour your life into 12 men for over 3 years, and you end up with one of them who sells your life for 30 pieces of silver, another who curses and swears that he doesn't know you, and the rest run away and hide. Jesus knows what's coming, and he gives thanks, and he serves every one of them. This is after he had already washed their feet. It's just amazing. He is amazing. I can't. Whenever I've been challenged in hard circumstances, the Holy Spirit rises up and enables me to make it through in a Christian way, but in myself, I can't do it. I don't want to pretend in front of you guys. I love this. Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. You know, he's going to go out from this place and pray and say, God, if there's any other way, please give me that one. Plan B. Slipped into Get Smart for a second there, didn't I? And then he said, this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. He knew what was coming, but he didn't want it. I could spend time there, but I'm not going to tie you up. Maybe just a minute. When Sarah came to Christ before me, that's why she's more godly. But when I came to Christ, people were saying, just receive Jesus and you'll have peace. And I was like, I got delivered of my health, I got delivered of my money, I got delivered. You don't know what's going to happen when you give your life to Jesus. You'll get peace in your heart. He gives peace that passes understanding, but sometimes he strips stuff away at first just to get all of you. And it's like, well, that doesn't sell. Well, we're not here to sell. When I got born again, I didn't get born again because I was in desperate need. I owned a home, a nice home, a nice car. I had everything a sinful young California boomer could want. But a guy started witnessing to me, and he said, you're going to hell if you don't repent. I didn't really like that, but I needed it because it was true. And I started reading the New Testament, and I remember, I think I've shared this with you guys before, I got through the Sermon on the Mount, and I said, oh, Lord, Paul's right. This is the guy's name who was witnessing to me. Paul's right, I'm going to hell. And then I said, when I finish reading this book, I'll give you my life. Boy, toward the end, I was only reading a couple of verses a night. Some people ask me, were you miserable before you came to Christ? And no, I really had fun. I did. I was a sinner. I was good at it. And I had fun. But I didn't come to Christ because everything went against me. I came to Christ because he convicted me through the power of his Holy Spirit. And it worked. It stuck. One guy asked me one day after about a year, he goes, "Are you going to stay this way?" I said, "Yeah, and hopefully I'm going to get worse." According to you, you know, fanatic or whatever. So we're going to celebrate communion today, and I'm just going to say this with a certain degree of certainty. We all have something we could complain about. But rather than do that, let's by faith give thanks to our Father in heaven for the gift of his Son. Yes? Circumstances ebb and flow, good, bad, and different, but the gift of his Son never changes. So as I mentioned earlier, it's easy to give thanks when everything's going well, but what about war, persecution, and death, which were the three examples we looked at in Scripture? It's hard. It's difficult. The examples left to us by King David, the Apostle Paul, Jesus, who is called Christ, and one of my favorite presidents, Abraham Lincoln, hopefully are speaking to our hearts right now. So what about us? Unless you just crawled out from under a rock recently, you know that things are going not so well. I mean, they say they're going well. This is... The economy's great. Really? You have somebody else fill up your car with gas, don't you? We hear every awful thing that's happening in the world every day if we listen to the news. The level of information that impacts us that's negative is really profound. I just want to ask you this week to disengage from that. Just, you can go a week and just disengage from CNN, MSNBC. I love this one, CBS. Think about it. MSNBC, it's rolling out. But just disengage from all that. It's destructive. Engage the Lord Jesus in worship, prayer, reading Scripture. Give thanks, not for everything, but in everything, because this is the will of God. Yes? Yes.